Great to have you here. In this lesson, we're exploring the foundations of professional digital communication. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. So, welcome to the deep dive. And I want you to just think about this scenario for a second, right? Mm-hmm. You can spend 4 years earning a university degree.
Oh, easily. Or, you know, spend thousands of hours developing incredibly complex technical skills for your career.
Exactly. But in the modern distributed workplace, your colleagues and managers, they'll often judge your overall competence, your reliability, and really your professional worth based entirely on like a 15-word Slack message you fired off in 3 seconds between meetings.
It is a stark reality to confront, but it is absolutely true.
Yeah.
The digital medium is unforgiving, and the stakes for how we present ourselves through a screen are incredibly high today. So to ensure we are anchored in the same context, let's clearly define what we actually mean when we say digital communication.
Right, because it's not just emails anymore.
Not at all. We are talking about the complete interconnected ecosystem of digital interaction that you navigate daily in academic and professional spheres.
Yeah, the whole ecosystem.
Right. It encompasses the rapid-fire messaging platforms like Slack or Teams, the virtual meetings you attend on Zoom, the collaborative comments you leave in a shared Google Doc or a Figma file.
Oh, yeah, the Figma comments. Those can get messy.
Exactly. And the online discussion boards you participate in. Yeah. It is a massive, highly visible umbrella.
It really is an ecosystem.
Right.
And, you know, I want to frame how we operate within it, because the old advice of dress for the occasion.
Right.
You know, telling people not to wear a swimsuit to a boardroom.
Right.
It feels a bit patronizing today.
A little bit, yeah.
We all inherently know we shouldn't send, like, party emojis to the CEO. The real challenge is the nuanced gray area of daily work.
Absolutely. The everyday interactions.
So try thinking of your initial thought process, like raw data or raw code. Before you send that thought to someone else, you have to pass it through a user interface filter.
I like that analogy.
Because you wouldn't hand a client a spreadsheet containing thousands of lines of raw, unformatted code, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd build them a clean, intuitive dashboard so they can immediately understand the metrics.
Right, so they don't have to work to understand it.
Exactly. Your initial reaction, maybe frustration or just a stream of consciousness idea, is that raw code. The professional message you actually deliver is the dashboard.
And what's really fascinating here is what happens cognitively when you fail to bid that dashboard.
When you just dump the raw code on them.
Exactly. When you just send the raw code, poor digital communication essentially acts as friction in the machinery of your daily life, because digital text exists in a vacuum.
Yeah, there's no context.
Right. It's stripped of tone of voice, facial expressions, body language. So the recipient's brain has to work overtime to assign a context to your words.
Which is exhausting.
It is. And human beings have a well-documented negativity bias when reading ambiguous text. A hastily written, unformatted message that was meant to be entirely neutral is almost always interpreted as demanding or passive-aggressive or dismissive.
Wow. So the friction isn't just that the message is ugly or hard to read.
No.
It's that it actively creates misunderstandings.
Exactly. And that misunderstanding quickly spirals into damaged relationships. People feel slighted or disrespected simply because they had to struggle to decode your intent.
Yeah, like, why are they being so short with me?
Precisely. And ultimately, this leads to reduced professionalism and poor collaboration. You become known as someone who is difficult to work with, not because your technical skills are lacking, but because your messages are a cognitive hurdle for others to jump over. Conversely, when you provide that clean dashboard, when your messages are effortlessly understood, you instantly build a foundation of credibility and mutual trust.
You become the person who actually accelerates a project.
Yes. You remove the friction.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Oh.
Because framing it as a cognitive hurdle makes perfect sense to me. But I had to push back a little on the word professionalism.
Okay, sure. Let's hear it.
To a lot of people, especially those just entering the modern workforce, professionalism feels like a corporate compliance mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a mandate to strip away all personality, use stiff jargon, and, you know, so like an AI bot.
Right.
So is there a danger that in trying to be professional, we just become rigid and boring?
That is a very valid concern. And honestly, it's a highly common misconception. But true professionalism at its core is not about being stiff or abandoning your personality. It is simply a mechanism for respectful communication. It is how you signal to a colleague or a client, I value your time, I respect your bandwidth, and I want to make this interaction as efficient as possible for both of us.
I really like that framing.
Yeah. When we look at the core concepts from the lesson, which are clarity and communication awareness, we are really just talking about applied empathy.
Applied empathy. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So how do those two concepts break down mechanically, like in practice?
Well, clarity means your messages must be simple, direct, and immediately understandable.
Right.
If someone has to read your email three times to extract the actual request, you lack clarity. And frankly, you are disrespecting their time.
Because you made them do the work.
Exactly. And then communication awareness is the empathy to recognize that different situations require entirely different communication styles.
Right. Context matters.
It's everything. A project update sent to a peer on a Friday afternoon will, and absolutely should, look different than a project update sent to a department head on a Monday morning.
Because the department head has a totally different cognitive load than your peer.
Yes, exactly.
Which brings us from the philosophy of all this to the actual practical execution. Because, you know, our credibility is constantly on the line here.
It is.
So how do you, meaning you, listening right now, practically execute these strategies in real high-pressure digital situations?
Well, the actionable strategies really demand intentionality. First, you must communicate clearly and respectfully using professional language appropriate to the setting.
Okay.
But the crucial shift happens with two specific practices. You must actively build in a pause to think before sending, like a digital emergency break.
A digital emergency break. I love that.
And you must adapt your communication to the specific audience and context.
I struggle with the adapt to your audience advice, if I'm being completely honest.
Really? Why is that?
Because I don't want to be a chameleon. If I have to constantly shift my style from a highly formal project proposal to a quick, casual chat message, how do I do that without entirely losing my own voice?
Right.
You know, how do we stay authentic while constantly filtering ourselves?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, adapting your style does not mean altering your identity.
Okay.
Think of it like a mixing board in a recording studio.
Oh, like the EQ sliders and stuff.
Exactly. You are still playing the exact same song. The substance of your message, your core insights, your unique personality, that remains yours. It's your song.
Okay, I'm following.
But the mixing board allows you to adjust the specific frequencies to suit the acoustics of the room. The delivery method, the pacing, the level of detail you include, these are just sliders you adjust to ensure the person on the other end can actually hear the song without distortion.
That makes so much sense.
Right.
Right.
If you are speaking to a director who values bottom line brevity, giving them a 3-paragraph narrative isn't being authentic. It's just broadcasting on a frequency they aren't tuned to.
You're just making them tune you out.
Exactly. Matching context ensures your authentic voice is actually heard.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the materials provided a real-world scenario of a student in an internship that, like, perfectly illustrates this frequency adjustment.
Oh, yes. The internship case study.
Yeah, and it proves just how relevant this is to future work environments.
Yes, the student who managed to completely transform their internship experience and really their whole professional trajectory.
Exactly. And what struck me wasn't that they suddenly learned a bunch of new, complex industry secrets. They were originally struggling to make an impact, not because they didn't know the subject matter of their field.
All right, the knowledge was there.
But because their digital communication was creating that exact friction we just talked about. They were sending raw code instead of dashboards.
Yes.
But by learning how to write clearer, more professional messages, they drastically improved their workplace relationships. So let's break down the mechanics of that. What does that actually look like in practice for this intern?
It looks like structural clarity. Instead of firing off a stream of consciousness question in a Slack channel whenever they hit a roadblock, they began consolidating their thoughts.
They used the emergency brake.
Exactly. They started using clear, highly searchable subject lines in their emails so managers knew exactly what the message is about before even opening it.
Right.
They utilized bullet points to break down complex issues rather than sending intimidating walls of text. And by formatting their messages with the bottom line up front.
Oh, I love that.
Giving the most important context immediately, they remove the cognitive hurdle for their entire team.
It's amazing how purely structural tweets, literally just hitting the return key to create white space or adding a bolded bullet point, can completely alter how your competence is perceived by senior leadership.
It really is.
It's the difference between looking overwhelmed and looking highly analytical.
And that is the crucial takeaway for the future of work. Modern work relies heavily on specific practical digital tools. The sources specifically point to platforms like Microsoft Outlook, Gmail, and Slack.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
But mastering the technical use of these tools, knowing how to attach a file, how to create a specific channel, or how to schedule a send, is merely the baseline requirement.
That's just knowing where the steering wheel is.
Exactly. The true future-ready skill is applying clarity and professionalism within those tools.
Right.
A beautifully organized Slack workspace is entirely useless if the messages inside it are vague, confusing, or disrespectful.
It just becomes a highly organized mess.
Right. The technology is just the vehicle. Your communication skill is the driver.
But let me play devil's advocate for a second, because we need to talk about the reality of responsible use with these instantaneous tools.
That's fair. Let's hear.
In theory, I love the idea of crafting the perfect bulleted dashboard message. But what about a fast-paced crisis?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in a rapid-fire virtual meeting or managing a critical issue on a Slack thread where five different engineers are waiting for my input, isn't it incredibly tempting and maybe even necessary to prioritize speed over respect and clarity?
I see where you're going. Like, I just want to unblock the team and get the answer out there as fast as humanly possible.
This raises an important question. And it highlights the exact behavioral trap that causes the most damage in collaborative environments.
Okay.
Yes, it is highly tempting to prioritize speed, especially when the culture feels urgent. But sacrificing clarity for speed is almost always a false economy.
A false economy? Tell me more about that.
Well, it feels highly efficient in the moment to fire off a fragmented, half-thought-out message. You check it off your list. You unblock them.
Right. That's my plate.
But what happens next? The recipient receives a vague directive. They are confused, so they have to pause their own work to decipher it. They then have to reply and ask you a clarifying question.
Which pings me again.
Exactly. You have to stop what you were doing to reply again and explain what you actually meant. Maybe a third person gets pulled into the thread because they misinterpreted the original rushed message.
Wow, yeah.
That rushed 3-second message you sent just generated a 20-minute delay for the entire team. So by trying to save 30 seconds up front, I just actively slowed down the whole organization.
Precisely. And this is where responsible digital use moves from being a polite idea to a core ethical practice in the workplace.
It's an ethical practice.
Yes. Responsible use isn't just about avoiding obvious unprofessionalism, like bad words or whatever. It's about actively working to prevent misunderstandings. Taking that extra few seconds up front to ensure the message is simple, direct, and respectful isn't delaying the project. It is preventative maintenance.
Preventative maintenance, I like that.
You have to slow down slightly to speed the whole team up.
Slowing down to speed up the collective. I really like the mechanics of that.
Yeah.
It shifts respectful communication from being a soft skill to a hard operational strategy.
Exactly.
So to help you, the listener, build the muscle of taking that extra second before you hit send, let's talk about some habits and learning practices you can adopt right now.
Well, the lesson materials provide a fantastic application activity to build this exact muscle. It's a highly practical mental exercise you can do today.
Oh, awesome. What is it?
The best data set you have for analyzing your own communication patterns is your own sent folder.
Oh, boy.
Right. So the next time you are reviewing different digital communication examples, I want you to open your email or messaging app and actively audit your recent outbound messages, looking for 3 specific data points.
An inbox audit. It requires a bit of vulnerability to look back at your own raw code, but it is incredibly useful. What is the first data point?
First, look for your professional strengths.
Okay, start positive.
Yes. What did you do well? Where was your tone perfectly calibrated for the audience? Did you use a clear subject line? Recognizing what a good dashboard looks like when you build one is the first step.
Makes sense. And the second?
Second, ruthlessly hunt for instances of unclear messaging.
The raw code.
Exactly. Where did you bury the main request in the third paragraph instead of putting it up front? Where did you use internal jargon or acronyms that might have confused a newer team member?
And I imagine the third is figuring how to fix those gaps.
Correct. Identify specific areas for structural improvement. Look at a dense paragraph and ask, could a numbered list have saved the recipient time here?
Probably.
Right. Look at a blunt request and ask, could a slightly warmer greeting have softened this and built better rapport?
So if you opened your phone right now and looked at your last 5 work or school emails, what stands out to you?
It's a great question.
Are you seeing well-mixed frequencies or are you seeing raw data? To guide that ongoing analysis, the lesson offers a core reflection prompt that every learner should really internalize.
Yes. The prompt is simply, how can I improve the clarity and professionalism of my digital communication?
Simple but powerful.
It is a vital prompt because this isn't a one-time checklist. It's a continuous mindset.
Right.
The software interfaces, Slack, Teams, whatever comes next in 5 years, they will inevitably change. But the cognitive needs of the human beings reading those messages will not.
Exactly. The human on the other side of the screen is the constant. So let's do a quick knowledge check to wrap our heads around everything we've covered. If we synthesize everything we've explored, all the threads about friction, empathy, and formatting, it really comes down to a few core truths, doesn't it?
It does. If we look at the foundational pillars, the first truth is why this matters at all. Digital communication is the primary environment where modern collaboration lives or dies.
Yep.
Poor communication creates cognitive friction. Strong communication builds credibility.
Right. And then how does professionalism factor in?
The second truth is that professionalism improves this environment by establishing a baseline of respect and empathy for the other person's time.
And the final truth is that your style must always match your audience.
Yeah.
Right. Because communication isn't just about broadcasting your thoughts into the void. It's about ensuring your signal is actually received and understood through the noise.
Precisely. Clear communication improves understanding. Professionalism strengthens your credibility. Respect improves collaboration. And adaptability ensures your message resonates.
So what does this all mean for you listening? As we bring this deep dive home, it means your digital confidence isn't about memorizing keyboard shortcuts or knowing the latest slang. It's about your adaptability.
Absolutely.
It's about empathy translated into text. If you can master those elements, you're going to be a highly valued, unstoppable force in whatever future workplace you find yourself in.
We want to encourage you to stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready. Understanding the theory is only the beginning.
Absolutely. Don't just let this information sit here. I highly encourage you to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities provided in your course.
They are so helpful.
They really are specifically designed to help you turn this theory into your daily reality.
And for those who want to dive even deeper into the mechanics of workplace dynamics, productivity, and team communication, the reference materials point to some exceptional further reading.
Oh, yes.
Now, while specific publication dates and authors weren't provided in the lesson notes, we want to explicitly name Crucial Conversations, The Effective Executive, and The Culture Code as foundational texts. They are highly recommended for your continued professional growth.
They are absolute game changers for understanding how human beings operate together. I highly recommend checking those out.
Definitely.
All right, as we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to carry with you today. Next time you are hovering your mouse over the send button, feeling the rush to just get the message out, pause for 1 second and ask yourself, is this message building a bridge or a barrier?
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. See you next time.